Chapter 37. October AD 2064. Year 8 ERC. Spring. It was a full year before Tash herself visited Naples, the first of the in-jokes to come here since Mel at the time of the eruption, even though, Tash knew, Grace Butterworth had frequently returned. And once again Skythrust 2 drifted through the murky sky above the city. Or, a year on, the scar that had been Naples. A scar visible from space, Tash knew, from the moon. While Mara Kane made a speech. A year since the eruption, the Prime Minister said from her podium. And over 7 long years since the blink. And we're still here, still coping, still helping each other as best we can, right? That got the predictable ripple of applause, even, Tash saw, from Governor Lang and his entourage. Lang was the main challenger to Cox's vice president in the year's presidential election. And as she spoke on, Tash knew Kane could look confidently out over a crowd of faces in this big open-air arena under a pallid blue-brown sky where Skythrust hovered, implausibly huge. This was the media circus that had been set up at the centre of the English-American relief zone at Salerno, an extensive place, a mixture of misery and bureaucracy. And, Tash thought, with a depressing air of permanence. Viewing from the air, as they had sailed over in Skythrust, Tash had seen converging roads, roadblocks, fences, barriers, the characteristic outer features of a refugee compound. And a swarm of dots moving into this infrastructure. People still streaming down from the Naples area, filtering through the logic of refugee processing. Every dot as vividly alive as she was. But the crowd facing Kane now were not those wretched refugees. They were reporters, influencers, politicians, business leaders. Like Tash and her party, they all wore face masks, protection from ash and plague vectors, and they sat in chairs pre-arranged in wide-spaced rows. To Tash, it was uncomfortably like a pandemic drill at school. And the image on the big screen suspended from Skythrust had nothing to do with Naples. There was the butterfly-like Pioneer 14, lit by a distant sun. An image transmitted from a free-flying camera drone launched from the ship itself. An image of ethereal beauty over the squalor of the ground. An imagery that felt wrong, Tash realised, suddenly, belatedly, tactless. She uneasily glanced at Grace, sitting beside her. Harry Regent, inevitably, on her other side. Since the blink, and with a growing sense of her own importance back in Government House in faraway Gateshead, Grace had been known to heckle staff, even politicians, when she thought they were losing touch with reality. But Tash saw that Grace and Harry were paying no attention to Kane right now. Both had their phones out, Harry's apparently mil-spec, an impressive-looking bit of kit. And they were paging through images, documents, names, faces. Refugees. Grace was still looking for traces of her family. Tash had actually been able to assist Grace in her search. After the main eruption a year back, Tash, with other staff loaned by the English government, had done some work in an advisory capacity on refugee processing. After a few days of hasty improvisation, where there wasn't much recording of anything beyond handwritten message boards, the refugees stumbling out of Naples had been passed through what were called processing shells, essentially a sequence of triage filters. The first level was said to be the most brutal, at which corpses were removed, mothers and fathers separated from the bodies of their ash-choked children, carried all the way out of the city. Hastily set up medical triage followed, and after that, more controversially, a nationality filter. And after that, there would be nothing to do but wait in some tent city, if you were lucky, and accept whatever handouts were on offer, and hope. But, Tash knew, after the first chaotic hours and days, at each of these processing points, as much information as possible was taken on every individual that was passed through, or even turned away. Personal details, images, names, addresses, DNA swabs, even of the dead. The early improvised contact boards were imaged too, and fed into the system. What Grace was clinging to now was a slim hope that her sister and niece lived, but were lost in the clumsy bureaucracy of refugee processing. Lost, hidden away in this scarred landscape, somewhere. No matter how much more unrealistic that hope became, day by day. So now, Grace and Harry page through record after record, search after search, seeking any link, any mention of Grace's sister and niece in a crudely organised, frequently crashing database. While Mara Kane lectured her prestigious audience on the state of the world, Tash knew her words off by heart. She peered up into the sky, an orange-brown dome in which the sun hung, a clearly defined disk, pale, wan. Tash knew that most people thought the persistent, globe-wrapping haze layer was high-altitude volcanic ash. That wasn't surprising given that ash falls had blanketed much of southern Europe, even into Asia, from South Italy to Russia, Turkey, even the Ukraine. As the crops had failed, millions had been displaced. More misery, on an astounding scale. But all that ash had mostly washed out within a few days of the eruption. It was secondary products belched out of the caldera that were doing the longer-term damage, especially volcanic sulfur that had reacted with water vapour in the air to create a haze of sulfuric acid, which stubbornly refused to clear even a year on. So, in the long summer after Naples, harvests globally had been down by about three quarters, and in the northern winter a savage early cold had set in, only slowly, grudgingly lifting in the spring. Other effects had not been so obvious, she had learned. With the temperature down, there was less evaporation from the land and sea, so globally, less rain. Thus, over the land, there were droughts, dust storms, forest fires such as hadn't been witnessed since the worst of the climate crisis years. The monsoons had been disrupted too, with India, China hit hard, anywhere downstream of the Himalayas, where many of the great Asian rivers rose, was suffering from drought. A global emergency, if the other after effects of the blink hadn't created one already. And across the planet, even far from Naples, there had been refugee flows on a scale not seen since the 2030s, bringing hunger and epidemics, nightmares from a previous generation. But Tash was distracted by the feed from the Pioneer. Now the spacecraft image gave way to a group shot of three astronauts side by side, smiling faces, comms hats on, name badges evident. A classic pose, Tash thought, that might have been mounted a century before in some Apollo capsule en route to the moon. Mara Kane accepted the interruption, smiled, and welcomed the astronauts. "Hello, Earth. Hello, Prime Minister Kane, Governor Lang, other honoured guests at Salerno. Greetings from beyond Neptune. I'm speaking to you now, or I was 12 hours ago, by your timing, courtesy of Lightspeed Lag, from the NHSA spacecraft Pioneer 14. My name is Wu Ji. With me, the rest of the crew, Sarah West and Marina Petko. We are all well. The spacecraft is functioning as specified. We have no concerns. It is 373 days since we left home, nearly a whole new post-blink year for Earth. And, fittingly, we have reached the blink point, 90 astronomical units from the Earth, where we have a decision to make. End packet." The spacecraft image returned. There was a ripple of faint applause as Mara got back to her feet and spoke on. Tash knew that the data from Pioneer, lightspeed delayed by 12 hours, was being sent down in compressed packets, partly for efficiency and partly to give ground-based speakers a chance to work around the news from the sky. But sitting here now, Tash still felt all this was a mistake. The show was clumsy, and worse, lacking in empathy. Just like the impression given by the presence of the cruise liner Sheik, Skythrust itself, in the sky above the ravaged city. And as Mara Kane spoke on, Tash found she was unsure of the wisdom of her remarks as well, as she tried to remind her audience of the worldwide context, the background to a global effort to help the Neapolitans. An effort that in reality was increasingly resented unwilling donors. Mara wasn't about to say it out loud now, Tash knew, but even worse was expected next year. if the volcano winter didn't end soon. Well, even if it did. This year, refugees could be accommodated, to some extent, because of existing food stores. By next year, those stores would be depleted. Tash suspected people had grown angry about this, even resentful, as if it were all the fault of the Neapolitans. Which was why, presumably, the English still backed a coarse populist like Mara Kane and her English Reconstruction Movement, a party that hadn't even existed a decade ago and had shown little sign of competence in government, and why the Americans looked like they were going to back Jeff Lang in this year's election, the chosen candidate of yet another start-up patriotic nationalist party, whose pledge was to reunite the country by taking the American free states back into the Union. He hadn't actually used the word forcibly, commentators noted. Not yet, anyhow. And so on. In her worst moments, Tash wondered if humanity was always bound to turn to its darker side when times got a little hard. If so, maybe Galaxius was right to try to quarantine the Earth, if that's what it had been aiming at. Or maybe she was too critical. These were unprecedented times. They all just had to do the best they could, she thought. She returned. The blink point, 12 light hours out towards the constellation of Centaurus, to where the sun was apparently transported on blink day. We came here to find out if there was any trace of Galaxius here. Any equipment, residual, radiations, anything. And damn it, just to prove we could do this, travel to the scene of the crime, despite anything Galaxius could throw at us. But we have found nothing. Nothing here, in this unexceptional corner of space. However, I can reveal now, we do believe there are targets further out, beyond this empty location. From our unique vantage point, we have been able to see something, a hint of enormous masses, or some more mysterious objects, out in the dark. Dark masses, which we see only by deflections of the motion of objects in the Kuiper Belt. Very subtle deflections, observed by triangulating measurements with those made from Earth. Can this be some hint of the giant machinery which Galaxius used to move our sun in our Kuiper Belt? We have debated our options with our primary mission controllers at JPL and Moscow. The decision has yet to be made formally, but we three are united in our determination. We continue to accelerate. We will go on, for some way yet at least, beyond the blink point, into the dark, seeking traces of Galaxius. For if Galaxius is not here, then where? A voice from the audience spoke up. You go, kid! A rebel yell. That contribution got a smattering of applause. And Grace Butterworth, staring into her phone, swore softly. Tash turned and whispered, Grace, what is it? But Grace, her lips compressed, her eyes unblinking, did not reply, clinging to her phone. Harry Regent checked his own phone, leaned over and said softly to Tash, We found her. Tash's heart beat faster. Who? Ella? Not Ella, he murmured. Billy. Just the kid. Just Billy. And what we found? Well, see for yourself. He handed her his own phone, where Tash made out an image of an image, a scan of a photograph of a child's face, eyes closed, as if sleeping peacefully. There were a couple of other bits of paper in the image, text scrawled in a clumsy hand that was difficult to decipher. Tash swiped to enlarge the image, squinted. Bambina di Bata, she read. And beneath, a more official-looking document, with a barcode, a printed list of details, including what was clearly a death date. The photograph itself had been ripped, as if torn from some previous mounting. It's her. It's her, Harry said. We were able to follow up the details on the barcode, identify the DNA record. The details just came back. It's her. No sign of the mother. Oh, hell, Grace. There's more, Harry said in a stern whisper. You can see the posting has been removed, physically, posted up elsewhere, and then recorded on an illegal site where we found it. He pointed at the screen. This, written by hand. Can you read that? Tash looked again. Bambina di Bata. I have no Italian. Blink, baby, said Grace, speaking at last. A harsh whisper. That's what it means. Blink, baby. Somebody is going through the refugee records, looking for blink day birthers like Billy. Gathering the records in one place, physically, and posting them together like this. It's a kind of cult, Harry said earnestly. I think, if you believe the blink babies are somehow connected to the actions of Galaxius. He grasped Grace's hand. We don't need to think the child was murdered. Not by any cultists. The records indicate asphyxiation, crushing, some burning. As if she were trapped under the ashfall. Those idiots didn't kill my niece, Grace said. It did. She glanced up at the pioneer image on the screen. The thing they have gone looking for. Galaxius killed my niece. As sure as if it was driving a truck that mowed her down. And it has to be made to pay, Harry Regent said. It has to be made to pay. Tash stared at them both, wondering what consequences would flow from this discovery. Up on the big screen, the astronauts appeared again, clean and smiling in deep space, waved back at Earth, and said farewell in a variety of languages to a ripple of applause. They seemed utterly unreal to Tash, even though she had known Shi for so long and so well. A breeze blew, stirring ash into the air. All around Tash, people tightened their face masks. The astronauts disappeared.